First Pitch Arizona. We are live for Above in the Bloom podcast 2024. How's everybody doing? Thanks for the turnout, everybody. This is going to be a fun one. We do our interactive bloom boards like usual. Everyone has a little fun with us. Ryan's got a slideshow, which I wouldn't know how to put together, obviously. I got my yellow legal pad because I can't print out my sheets before Ryan can make fun of that.
No, I'm going to make fun of him already. Look at this. I always make fun of Bubba all the time because he prints everything out and writes everything down. Look at this thing that he brings. It's all torn up. On brand. On brand tonight.
Wouldn't have any other way. Thanks for coming as usual, everybody. Yes. We won't do too much housekeeping because you guys know who we are if you are here, I hope. So I'll let Ryan have some fun with some early slides here before we get into the interactive show. We'll do some raffles throughout the show for some initial first time ever, they're not bad, t-shirts for Bubba and the Bloom. So we'll have some fun with that, everybody. But Ryan, why don't you like make fun of me some more with some slides?
All right, so I do apologize. We got in, a full day late to First Pitch this year, unfortunately. It was Halloween, and Bubba and I are both dads of little kids, so we couldn't miss that. So I wanted to throw up some don't worry, it gets self-deprecating rather quickly.
We love to make fun of ourselves on this show, if you can't tell.
Bubba dressed, I don't even know what this is.
That it was windy, the hat flew off, so I turned in from a wizard to Moses. It was very quick.
Okay. Yeah. For the podcast listeners, these are our Halloween costumes. I was Oscar the Grouch, turned into a giant green Smurf because I put my hoodie off, and those are all three of our little ones last night. But
all I gotta say is, you make fun of me all you want. When my daughter saw me the first time, she said, "Awesome." So that's all I care about. Laugh all you want.
What I want to do, we've been talking about maybe doing a new logo for the show, and I think, what if we just zoom in a little bit? Just like a stressed out, gray-haired, middle-aged
who
dad.
Who looks old now? Who looks old now?
I look older than you.
Yes,
I look older than you. But no, we both had a good time last night on Halloween, trick-or-treating. Both got in this morning. Bubba, you woke up at 2:30 in the morning to get out here.
We're on IPA and fumes right now, folks. Yeah. So we're having fun with this.
But no, we had a good time last night, but we are very, I think this, my face is a face of someone who wants to be at First Pitch as opposed to Halloween, but we did make it here. So I told my kids as Oscar the Grouch that I was going to go back and live in my garbage can for the next 4 days. And so I'm here. So anyway, next up, we won't do much housekeeping on Sunday. We've got a little day planned, don't we?
Yes, we have a little day.
We still have some open slots. If anyone in the crowd plays golf or wants to play golf, wants to try out golf, we have our third annual Bubba in the Bloom Invitational down at Ocotillo Golf Club, 20 minutes from here. Who in the crowd is playing in the Bubba in the Bloom Invitational? Let's get a show of hands.
Heck yeah. It's a good crew.
9 or 10 plus us. So we can't wait for that. It's going to cap off the weekend rather well. So we'll get some pictures.
If you thought those Halloween pictures were fun, just wait till you see that.
Wait till, we have a crew playing at this. There may be kidney stones passed in the middle of the career.
And there's water, on,
name six, names,
water on 16 holes. So it's going to be a
And there's water on
show.
15 of the 18 holes. So it'll be something. But most of you all don't care about that. But it's something that we both like to obviously do fantasy baseball, but get outside and play golf a little bit too. So, again, if anyone out here is interested in playing on Sunday, got a couple more spots left. So hit us up.
All right, so the meat and potatoes of the show, the reason why you guys are here besides making fun of us, is Bloom Boards Trivia. As you guys know, Ryan is well known for his Bloom Boards, not just his – he's actually very smart at things as well, but he's really, really bloomed due to his Bloom Boards. So we did this the last couple years now. We do Bloom Board Trivia. Ryan puts together some slides. You guys as the crowd gets to kind of guess on things. That's not how you win these wonderful shirts, of course, but we love the interaction from the crowd. We'll have some fun with that. And we have four different boards. We'll talk through those. And if you guys have any opinions or questions on anybody on the boards, you're more than welcome to ask them.
Yes.
But let's get started. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I got nothing. All right, we'll start. So we got a set of four boards. We're gonna do some trivia. So once we get out there, we'll open this up to the crowd. Some of you all have seen this, but one of the bigger takeaways that I've had of 2024 is this chart of is this raster of pitcher injuries. And again, some of you all have seen this kind of top 10 fastball velocity chart before, but I was not at the at Ron's intro this morning, but I think he said out of the top 300, 70% of pitchers, and quote me if I'm wrong, 70% of pitchers went on the IL in 2024. And so what we're looking at here is a chart of last season's 2023's top 10 pitchers in average fastball velocity. All right, so Bobby Miller, Hunter Green, again for the podcast crowd, Sandy, Yuri Perez, Spencer Strider, Grayson Rodriguez, Shane McClanahan, Jesus Luzardo, and Garrett Cole. What I'm going to throw up next is the amount of time every single one of these 10 spent on the IL in 2024. All 10 got hurt this year. All 10 spent time on the IL. Outside of Hunter Green, who spent only 40 days on the IL with an elbow injury, everyone else spent more than 70 days. Bobby Miller, 71.
Should have spent longer.
Yeah. Graced us with his presence for the innings that he did pitch. We've got Grayson Rodriguez with 77, Jesus Luzardo, 119. Then you've got a bunch of TJ guys, right? Sandy, Yuri Perez, who you picked early in the
2024, you're right, yeah.
2024 meatball draft.
Yeah. It worked out well.
Strider and Shane McClanahan. So I always struggle with this, like, is 1 year a trend? Whatever. I don't know. But it's just interesting to me that all 10 of the highest fastball velocity pitchers spent time on the IL.
Real quick, show of hands, who is actually going to use a board like this in the future to influence their drafting of pitchers? That's a good question. So like maybe 10% of the room. Okay, that's what I was wondering, because it's an interesting thing. You know, many people mentioned it over and over again, so that's why our next chart's going to be fun for coming up here. But it's something that I know, like Paul earlier on Sleeper in the Bus, they were big on Hunter Green. At least it's a big discussion point. So it'll be fun to see where it goes in 2024 or 2025 now. So what's the rest look like, Mr. Bloomfield?
All right, the rest is trivia. So what we're looking at here is the 2024, right? So this past season, top 10 highest fastball velocity pitchers. I won't go through the list. We've got two of them that are question marks, and this is where the crowd comes in with some guesses. I heard Sarah Sanchez say Paul Skeens.
That's an easy one.
Is one of them.
What did you say? How would you know that? There you go.
It's Paul Skeens at number two at 98.9 miles an hour, and it's Tariq Skubal at 97.
The top two drafted players in early 2025 drafts pitching-wise. So just back of the brain stuff there for you.
And that's why I hid those two names, because those, I believe, are the two first-round starting pitchers in early 2025 drafts. And I'm not saying those guys are going to get hurt. Paul Skeens has been a beast at LSU, has not missed time in the minors, and looked like the best pitcher in baseball. Maybe Tariq Skubal is too this season. But I just find it interesting that even if half this list gets hurt again next year or whatever, even if it's, you know, if it's all 10, then it's a true disaster just like last year. But I just find it interesting that two of the top top two pitchers in 2025 are on this list.
When you got Hunter Green on the list for the second straight year, which is impressive, even though he missed time, his velocity was still quite high. He introduced that splitter and whatnot, but still big there. You got Cease coming off a big strikeout year for him, is one of the best strikeout pitchers in baseball. He's back on the list. That's always a control thing with him. But then you got guys like Luis Eel, who kind of slowed down towards the end. Yeah, Crochet, you got limited. Jared Jones had some issues towards the end. Jose Soriano, that's a whole issue in itself. And we've all liked the skill sets of Jose Soriano, but I don't know if we can trust. Like, he might be a guy that needs to tone it down to, like, you know, 96
to be effective. Well, he ended the season hurt too, I believe.
Well, where's that on the Bloom board?
Plus, he's an Angel. We have an Angel fan in the crowd, and there's an Angel hat there, and that's not good either. So,
are you guys in on Crochet next year as a top 15 starting pitcher?
So that's actually one of that's I mean and again these, what I always preach with these bloom boards is it's not this is the start of a conversation of a deeper dive for some of these guys. Like, does this for anyone drafting early in 2025, does this put you off of Skeens or Scooble at all? And why not?
I mean,
everyone gets hurt. That's if we are in the business of trying to project pitcher injuries, it's a crapshoot. That's a great point. Yep. Yep. I, for one, drafted.
Scooble's already been hurt, yes.
Yep.
That's true.
I, for one, drafted Logan Gilbert in the third round of our meatball draft. Yep. Because the other thing is like, okay, so do you not draft pitchers who throw hard? So you have to draft guys who don't throw hard. Don't strike guys out. So it's, again, it's the start of a conversation. I just found it interesting that the top two pitchers are top 10 there.
For sure. Oh, I know. It's a great list. Well, and then, like, you know, we could, it's all, you know, 2023 is all have to, you know, hindsight. Like, oh, look it. They all got hurt. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Like, and we already said Scooble's already had one. You can have two, obviously. We've seen it from many. But, like, Cease is interesting to me because he's been longevity. Like, there's been a lot there. Gilbert, like, you're kind of talking about.
I mean, Logan Gilbert has, yeah. I don't have the, you know, numbers in front of me or whatever, but he's been one of the most dependable volume starting pitchers.
185 or more innings in three straight years. He threw 208 innings this past year. So
again, just throwing it out there to kind of have some conversation, some thought towards it, which is kind of what we try and do here. So
yeah, and when you look at Gilbert last year, the velo up 23% K to walk compared to 20% the year before. So you saw the gains in that regard. Whip a .89. That's a big change from 108, 118. So you saw the velo ticked up and the results obviously followed. Could it be sustainable? We'll see. Most innings pitched ever but for him, but three straight years of 185 plus, especially this era of baseball, is pretty darn awesome. So that's pretty good. Did you say someone else had a question?
Yeah, Paul Sporer, go ahead.
I wouldn't want to ignore this group. It's too good, but would you maybe consider limiting your exposure to it?
That's fair. Well, to be fair, to get most of these guys, you'd have to draft probably two to three pitchers in the first four to five rounds. So you'd have to be exactly.
That you want to mix up.
You'd have to be really aggressive, and you know how it is in a 15-teamer. Everyone wants, like, come March to walk away with more than two of this list. Two would be impressive. Yeah. So basically, probably circle three you want, and hope you walk out with one. That'd probably be the goal. That's my two cents. I'm not a main event guy. He's more 15s. You guys are more 15s. I'm more 12 OCs. So, but that's like where my head would go on that, for sure. Anything else on the velo?
Questions, disagreements, debates.
Is there any one guy on that list you're out on? Any one guy? That's my concern as well. Hunter Green. I know you had a big talk on him earlier. Anybody else? Eel.
Luis
Eel finished rough. He's only 10th on the list. What a bum. What a bum. Didn't you see him in the postseason? Gosh. All right. Let's go to the next one.
All right. This is a wheelhouse.
Oldie but goodie.
Wheelhouse type of bloom board. So there's been at least seven early drafts so far on the NFBC that we have ADP on, one of which – bunch of us in the room here, Bubba and myself, participated in the meatball draft hosted by Rob DiPietro, who's also in the crowd. Thanks for doing it, Rob, and trying to coordinate 15 people in one time in one Zoom room.
And I'm not easy to deal with, so I understand.
He's, that I can vouch for. He's that's right. All right, so what we're looking at here on the oh God, it's backwards. In the blue are the biggest fallers in ADP on the hitting side, and the yellow are the biggest fallers of ADP on the pitcher side from 2024 to 2025. Let's throw out some guesses on the. Let's go hitter side first. Let's go. We've got Bo Bichette.
And what was the other one? You guys are on fire in this room. It's a smart group of people.
What am I doing? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I unveiled. All right, let's do the pitcher side, and then we'll talk about the whole board.
Yeah, Gossman, yes. The next one's interesting.
Who is the next one?
This one's near and dear to Ryan's heart.
All right. On the hitter side, we've got Bo Bichette as the biggest faller in ADP.
I feel attacked right now.
I think Joe Errico feels attacked right now as a Blue Jay fan.
That's the second one
tonight. That's two calls. I'm sorry, man. He's just sitting here catching strays.
Just minding his own business. Man. What do you do to you?
Might have to pay for his golf on Sunday.
Well, don't get too crazy.
So Bo Bichette is the biggest faller in ADP. The way I do this, and this is, again, kind of a typical Bloom board that I'll do throughout the draft season, I do it by, like, pick value. So it's not just sheer, like, number of picks. To drop from the second round to the fourth round is a lot bigger deal than to drop from the 12th to the 14th round. The value of that pick is a lot bigger. So that's how I kind of rank these drops and rises in ADP. The risers weren't as interesting. It was just a lot of, like, it was your Jackson Merrill Skeens, like, you're kind of your sophomore guy.
Captain Obvious.
So yeah, our biggest faller was Bo Bichette, who was a 41 average draft position in 2024. He's dropped all the way down to 140. Marcus Semien is the third biggest faller from 38 to 98. So, Bubba, I guess I'll throw it over to you on the hitter side. Do you have any thoughts on Bichette and or Semien or anybody else on this?
I'm more looking at the massive drop from Nolan Jones. Like, we already know how bad things were, and many probably thought the inflation wasn't worth it at the same time the year before. But in theory, now that he's dropped so much, is anybody interested in, like, a 15-15 guy to pick 234 type thing?
Yeah.
You have him out of the top 300?
Yeah.
I've drafted
him out of it.
Okay.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Because that's, like, we talked about him, I think, a couple weeks ago. We talked about him a couple weeks ago or something. It's like, okay, last year I understood the argument coming off this career year, like, you're hoping 30-30, top, you know, 50, 75 pick. But now that he's dropped so much, you figure even if he figures it out a little bit, he's a 15-15 guy, and maybe he finds his way to something. That's the kind of stuff at least I look for as a potential growth spot. What about you, Ariel?
And if you're in NFC where you get Colorado for half a week.
Yeah.
And
if you drafted him early, you didn't want to bench him because you have that stupid mind thing that most of us have, where now if you draft him 234, just the bench piece, we rotate him in and out, life is good. So that's a plus. So that's why I wanted to bring him up, just kind of see the temperature in the crowd on that one.
That's what I was going to add, is if anybody on this faller list, Nolan Jones has the – and I clipped out, like, the, I guess, the past 350, anybody like that who's just totally fallen off. Nolan Jones is cheap as hell right now. Like, I think both things can be true, that you were not a believer in Nolan Jones – entering 2024, but I think you can also kind of be back in on him at 2025, yeah. given the price. Like, I was out on him because of I just thought the plate approach was atrocious, and I'm just not a track record. I mean, I need a track record if I'm drafting in the top 100, but at 234, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
why not?
I'm with you as well. That's why I just wanted to bring that up. Gleyber Torres with a massive drop. I know the power's been down. Do you have anything on that back there? You, Mr. Torres, yourself or no? Okay, just checking. Didn't know if you had a little something out
have,
there.
That's right, good. Yeah. We do have, hey, Chris Torres.
Chris
in the
Torres,
crowd,
but first time at FPAS, baby. Yeah. So,
in a Yankee hat, by the way. I have to respect that. Even though a tough loss, I respect you hanging with your squad, man.
But I just wanted to, like, Gleyber, if you look at his stat line, it's like a boring 15 middle infielder, it feels like, compared to, like, a, you know, break the bank type guy. So thought about him. The other one I think is really interesting is Randy and Adelise can never separate themselves from each other. No matter how good or bad their year is, their ADP is always right next to each other. Always. It's always the two of them. It's the Spider-Man gif, and you got to figure out which one it's going to be. So it's just every year, no matter where they rise, where they fall, here they are, the two of them.
They are always
together.
It's like
Matt Chapman and Eugenio Suarez and these two guys every single year. So wanted to bring that up real quick. There you go. Hey,
and
Cardinals have a track
Cardinals.
Record
That's
there.
Right.
They have a track record.
Let's do it. Let's do a quick impromptu poll, since this room, I'm sure, is.
Did you want to talk Paul Goldschmidt or no?
Yeah, we'll talk about him.
I'm just kidding.
We'll talk about him. We'll talk about my lost bet. This room is smarter than us two. So let's get a quick show of hands. In 2025, at the price, which are the same price, Randy Arozarena in 5x5 leagues, Randy Arozarena or Adelise Garcia. We'll start with Arozarena. Who would you rather have in 2025? In Seattle.
That's the tricky part.
That's the tricky part.
I saw arms go like this.
As soon as Spore says in Seattle, there was a collective.
Just because he's on the biggest podcast in fantasy baseball, you don't have to like get scared.
All right. Less than half. What about Adelis Garcia?
You guys ready to bounce back in on Adelis?
We've got Paul, Vlad, Joe.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's about, right. It was almost like probably 60-40 in the crew.
That
plays to the ADP. So we're still there.
The Seattle move scares me.
Less than
me.
Ideal. Less
it,
than
it
ideal.
It scares me. It
People
scares
that live
me.
In that Pacific Northwest, you got to question things. So makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's true.
anything else on the hitter side, or do you want to talk some pitchers to really get people fired up?
Let's do real quick on the hitter side. I, for me, even though the price is extremely cheap, I think the player on the hitter side that is most likely to not bounce back is Nolan Arenado.
Yes, I'm with you there.
I think there's a non-zero chance that he's cooked.
Yeah. Do you care if he gets traded or not?
Do I care if Nolan Arenado gets traded?
No.
I'm more worried about the age in the back, the recurring back problems the last few years, the rising ground ball
Can't
rate, the lack
ball.
Of power. I'm very concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is Paul Goldschmidt. Sorry, Cardinalsville.
The
there is Paul Goldschmidt
back
on
towards
this
the
one.
End. I still have my thoughts, obviously, on Goldschmidt, but yes. Yeah. It's an age thing. We should have an ageism bloom board. You want to go pitchers?
Yeah, let's go pitchers. Go ahead.
Pitchers. Pitcher side of things, Spencer Strider's kind of a been beaten to death. We already know the surgery, all that stuff. That makes sense. Gausman, let's talk Gausman for a second because this is a massive, like 100 pick difference. He's like throughout the season, we kind of all agreed he's more of an SP3, almost SP4 in fantasy. The way he is, like there's a decent floor with no strikeouts when all things are said and done. Are we interested in potentially buying back in on a Kevin Gausman because? He's had such a track record, but it could be age. It could be a lot of things. You don't count. No, I was kidding.
Who said no?
That was
Pollock?
Nick. It's Nick.
What does he know about?
Anybody people? Else have any thoughts? Nick, tell us why. Enlighten us. So does this come back to the story where you don't like pitchers that rely on splitters so much because when they go, it's over?
Story. It's actually a children's book that will be written by –
There you go. Does anybody else disagree with Nick? Don't be scared. Yeah, okay. Well,
so
that answers that.
It was funny with Gausman. So I mentioned we did our this meatball draft that Rob DiPietro started. And we did this in August. And I think every single one in that, because it's a live Zoom. So all 15 of us are in the Zoom room and we kind of, we talk after the draft about like guys who we didn't pick. Kevin Gausman came up. And I think every single one of us looked at Kevin Gausman, and we were talking about Kevin Gausman. We did 11 rounds. None of us took him because I think we all looked at him and were like, ugh, because it just got worse in the second half.
And it's just so boring. Like, it's a consistent – the ratios weren't horrible, but there's zero strikeouts behind it. It was just and like Nick was saying, the splitter wasn't working. He was pitching to contact. It was a disgusting situation all around for fantasy purposes at least. I wasn't disagreeing. I just wanted to get more than just no from the peanut gallery. All right, Luis Castillo, that was interesting to say the least. You have Eflin pitched well before he got hurt. Let's talk Pablo. How's Pablo? Okay, let's be fair, and I'm going to give you your kudos because you were always banging the drum. Everything looks good. He's going to turn it around. He turned it around. He turned it around really well. But the ADP doesn't reflect that. Like I wouldn't expect him to be, the 25th pitcher off the board or overall ADP. I mean, but 61. Now he's dropping a few rounds in that regard. And we've talked about a lot of questionable pitchers. You guys talked about it on your show today. There's a lot of, like, wiggle room in the ADP of pitching where Pablo finished like the second half to two-thirds of the season was actually pretty good for Pablo Lopez. So to see him drop to 61 stands out to me at least. What you're the Pablo speaker, so go.
He should be like a top 20 pick. He's a beast. So Kyle Bland is nodding in the audience. I saw that, Kyle. That's validation for me. Pablo Lopez's skills actually got a little worse in the second half than they did. Seriously, he was an even better pitcher in the first half than he was in the second half, and just got absolutely screwed. I think for me, if anyone, and maybe I'm biased because I hitched my flag to Pablo Lopez, took him pretty much everywhere entering 2024. I think the drop from 25 to 61 for Pablo is criminal. This is the same exact pitcher that we saw really the last 2-3 seasons. And we have another full season of Pablo, because remember, Pablo Lopez was quote unquote injury prone early in his career with the shoulder, which is scary as hell. But it's now been 3 full seasons of innings pitched for Pablo. And maybe he breaks down again next year, again, to kind of go back to our previous Bloom board predicting pitcher injuries. Who knows? But, like, I think Pablo Lopez is putting up ace skills, getting taken outside the top 60, which is like a fourth, fifth-round pick, depending on your league size. I think he's an SP1. Yeah. And, again, maybe I'm biased, but, like, tell me I'm wrong.
I don't disagree. I just wanted to hear what the crowd has to say on Pablo. Are you guys on board with Pablo, Sarah?
It's a really good point. So yeah, for the podcast listeners, because the 2024 ADP is from main event drafts, which usually take place in late March when pitchers that you are drafting early are presumably healthy, have made it through spring training healthy. So that is a good point. There is, I think, some baked in kind of rise. Or there's an automatic, maybe full round or something, drop from late draft season ADP for pitchers versus early draft season ADP. That's a great point, Sarah.
Well, the 2025 ADP is a combination of DCs and 50s. So you have 12s and 15s in there. It's not just one or the other. But yes, to your point.
In general, you're drafting pitchers.
Starting pitcher gets pushed up in those 2024. So very good point as well. Last pitcher I wanted to bring up, unless anybody else has any thoughts on this, is Corbin Burnes, because everyone loves Corbin Burnes. I've kind of spoke a little more anti of him on our show in the past, just because
you hated the guy.
No, that's a strong word. That's a strong
word. I shouldn't say hate.
That's a strong word. Let's clear things up. And this is 2024. We got to clear these things up. I like the longevity. We got 193 pitches, 3 straight years, but it's been a deterioration of strikeouts every single year, going back to 2020. And that's a shortened season, sure. So take that out. 2020, it's just been a decrease every time. A lot more pitch to contact. Numbers are still good. Ratios are good. But what I like to think of when you're taking a first round or your SP1, you want strikeouts, because we know how big – that's why Cease is such an interesting dichotomy. He's not really an ace, but he strikes out everybody when he's not walking the world. It's a conundrum. But you look at a guy like Burnes, who people want to draft as an ace, because, like, if I wait and don't take one of the elites, I can take Corbin Burnes. And then you see him on the board – he's actually falling to 34. It's still early round 2, so it's not like he's falling a ton, but he's at least moving out of – or early round 3, I mean. Quick on math on that one. But it's just interesting to me, because there's still a lot of love for Corbin Burnes, but I'm not seeing the ace love that he should be getting, if that makes sense to anybody. You got any thoughts on that?
No.
This is kind of how I've been on him even going into last year, and it just kind of kept going forward. Pitched extremely well, but he's not, to me, returning ace. Does anybody have thoughts on Corbin Burnes? Yeah, strikeout rate is not good. Now, when he goes to the Dodgers, he's going to be really good. He quote tweeted you guys a celebration the other day, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. Get the thing started.
Corbin did.
It does matter a ton. Well, and not to mention Baltimore's ballpark doesn't suck if there's righties facing him. Given more lefties, probably face him. But still, the ballpark does aid in the end. Any other thoughts on Corbin? That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Anybody else on Burnes? Yep, Vlad.
In general, if you think you're going to be going into draft, if you want to get some Pablos and all these guys we're talking about, and you want to start with 3 hitters and then get some of those guys, you
now. Yes.
Yep.
Late first, second, third round, you can shift your strategy.
This is why I always say, I'm like, people call us degenerates for drafting now. With you draft now to get these teams you look at later, like, you know, you look at before they get hurt in the spring training, you're like, wow, this is amazing. How did I build this team?
I mean, I think the prime example to what Vlad just brought up, and this is the last pitcher I want to bring up here, is Tyler Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow right now has 100 ADP. There is no way Tyler Glasnow has 100 ADP in March.
He should have a 200 ADP.
It's either going to be 200. It's either going to be top 30 or it's going to be
his top
10.
His arm's going to fall off.
Or his arm's going to fall off and yeah. So
would you rather Spencer Strider or Tyler Glasnow?
Let's see a show of hands, not the vocal crowd.
Show of hands. Would you rather Spencer Strider or Tyler Glasnow? One had surgery, one probably should have had surgery.
Well, you got to say Strider and then
Strider. Glasnow.
A lot more Strider. Like overwhelmingly more Strider than Glasnow.
You know, Colette made a good point. Is he really though? Oh, I heard he is. Colette made a great point on Sleeper on the Bus today. He said no pitcher so far that had the internal brace surgery that Strider had has thrown more than 60 innings the following year.
Interesting.
No pitcher. Colette said on the Sleeper in the Bus show, Jason Colette, that no pitcher has had the internal brace surgery has thrown more than 60 innings the following year yet.
6-0.
So that's just something to keep in the back of your brain. Now, things are always meant to be broken. Like, yeah, I'm saying,
it's always been around, but it was interesting
to hear Colette say that because everyone thinks, okay, it's an better surgery, quicker return, all these things. And maybe not. So it's just everyone's counting Spencer Strider still as an early pick because, oh, he's had the surgery, good to go. Maybe not. So it's just something to think about.
All right.
Okay. Next Bloom Board.
All right, next Bloom Board. This one's kind of nerdy.
No.
But to be honest.
Bloom Board's nerdy?
But to be honest, it's Friday night, and we're looking at a PowerPoint presentation of Excel screenshots.
Yeah. You guys are here on Friday night, so.
And you all are here with us. And again, we appreciate it. Yeah. But the nerdy disclaimer. All right. So what we're looking at here are the pitchers, and we'll get to the question marks in just a second. The pitchers who changed their pitch mix the most.
Your favorite pitchers on the top.
On a scale of, shut up, Bubba. God, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jesus. I can't stand Ryan Feltner. Yeah. I don't know why he's on this.
He went to bat for him so many times this year.
This is a list of pitchers who changed their pitch mix the most on a 0 to 100 scale from first half to second half of 2024. And I think this is – and so what we're looking at – so kind of ignore the, like, that pitch mix change column. Again, that's that 0 to 100 scale. 100 means you completely changed. Like, you went from all fastballs to all curveballs. Not going to happen. A 0 means you didn't change your pitch mix at all. And then what we're looking at in the color-coded columns is the strikeout minus walk rate, which is our favorite pitching. If you're going to look at one number for pitching analysis, if you only have one number to look at, strikeout minus walk rate is the number. The league average on that is 14%. We've got the first half K-minus walk to second half K-minus walk. So how good were they before they made the pitch mix change? Versus how good were they after they made the pitch mix change?
And I just want to say something before Ryan unleashes the stuff. I do like, you know, I give him a lot of flack, but this is one of the more fun shows we do in season because Ryan writes an article every year on the pitch mix change things. He has the scale and everything. And it really points out some variant because a lot of us just talk velocity changes, but there's a lot of reasons why velocity could change. There's more. And Eric's going to give an awesome.
Tomorrow night, right?
4:45. Eric Samolski is going to give an awesome full-on thing. We just have one board. Yes. He's got a full presentation.
We hope we're not stepping too much on your toes, Eric.
Yeah. But
check out Eric. Yeah, Eric's doing a breakout tomorrow. Please check that out. I will be there.
I just wanted to mention this because this is one that kind of opens my eyes because pitching's kind of not my forte. I like hitters, this, that, and the other. This opens my eyes to potential things that are much different than just looking at velocity changes. So.
And I think there's a kind of – I don't know if debate's the right word. There's kind of – there's different theories about how much do you factor in first half stats versus second half stats. How much do you, if someone really improves in the second half, is that some kind of tangible change that they made, or is that just they got hot in the second half and that's baseball. That's variance. My kind of stance on it, again, could be wrong. People may disagree. I think for hitters, I don't look too much at first half, second half splits, unless it's like someone maybe like a Wyatt Langford or something, kind of a young guy who's getting used to major league. I think hitters, it's more variance with pitchers. I think pitchers can really change and change quickly.
And Grayson.
And yeah, exactly. Grayson Rodriguez was an example of that. I just think pitchers, if they can add reduced velocity, change their pitch mix, and you get a change in skills to kind of support that, I get a little bit more excited about a second half skill uptick. So that's what we're looking at here. And you bring up Ryan Feltner because, God, he burned me.
Him and Bailey Falter were your boys.
Yeah, that's good. It's not good.
Those are his 15 teams.
Feltner
streams,
and
I'll
Faulkner.
Say. 15
I should
teams
name my
too.
Teams next year Feltner and Faulkner. Ryan Feltner is a great example. Not all pitch mix changes are good. Just because you change your pitch mix and you still suck.
You know what's interesting?
You still suck and you shouldn't draft him.
I'm going to make you feel better. You know what's interesting is that very first board we did about velocity, Luis Eel actually had a lower K to walk in the second half. Gilbert's went through the roof. They were both on that list. So the one thing I want to hit on is, yes, we're going through four Bloom boards, and we almost preface it every show we do. I'm hoping most of you are listeners of the show, that the Bloom boards are to open your mind to dig deeper on things. And this is one way, like, they correlate almost on certain things to make you dig even, like, look at Logan Gilbert. He made the pitch mix change. Did you see the velo bump in the second half? Was it, like, where did the velo bump come from? So on and so forth. Was it all year? And he just made a pitch mix change. There's a lot of factors that can kind of play into the production of the pitcher.
So the question we'll throw out to the crowd, we're not going to do four different pitchers to try and have you all name it. Why not?
I like it.
It's a good question.
I like it.
Fair question.
Go, all four right now. Wait.
I've heard two correct answers so far.
Kikuchi and Framber are correct.
I've heard three.
The next two are the same
so
team. Next two are on the same team.
They're all on the same team. That's the point.
Well, they are now. They are now. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
So the original question was.
They didn't start the year on the same team. Second half change might have been the second team.
Which team are Rennell all four
Rennell,
of these?
Blanco and Brown.
Houston Astros.
Arrogant.
So Houston Astros have Hunter Brown. You say Kikuchi. I'm going to kind of flip back and forth. Framber Valdez and Ronel Blanco.
They're good at baseball.
Very
four
good.
Four
Very
of the
good.
Five Houston Astros are on this list for biggest pitch mix changes from first half to second half. The only Houston Astro who is not on this list
is the best one they have.
Is the one who improved the most from the first to second
He's
half.
He's a spicy meat to ball.
And that is Spencer Arrighetti. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just a coincidence. I think not. I am one who tends to, if a pitching organization knows what they're doing with pitchers.
Well, they said that with Garrett Cole when he came over from Pittsburgh, and we saw how that went, minus the buzzers and sticky stuff, but it all worked out.
The interesting thing that also – well, go ahead. Anybody?
Oh, no, I'm going to let you keep going because it is interesting that you have basically four of the final five starting pitchers of one organization on a list. That is pretty telling because Kikuchi came over on August 1st, give or take, so almost the full second half. I think that's almost the most impressive part. You see one pitcher showed up in a new organization and changed that much in basically a two-month period to show up on this board. That says a lot, like you said, about the Houston organization. I know – we've heard in other talks today, I think it might have been your guys' dynasty talk about like organizational pitching to James Anderson. Sorry, I was pointing, like people are listening. We talked about the Rays, the Dodgers, all these teams that like have a philosophy on how they make guys pitch in the minors. Well, it obviously plays over to the bigs when you look at the Astros here. So it does stand out. Like it makes you wonder, should we be more or less aggressive on certain organizations at draft day? Not just because they can win games, like we talked Crochet earlier, but just in general, should we be more interested on a team that takes care of their pitchers the way a team like the Astros and others do? Vlad, and then we'll go to the back.
We've got grunts in the crowd.
Vlad?
Multiple grunts. Didn't change anything. That's a great point. And sometimes you don't need a pitch mix change to improve your skills from first to second half. I I think the biggest thing to look at, as opposed to the order, like the magnitude that they changed their pitch mix, I'm most interested in the guys who went from red to green, right, in first half to second half. Who improved the most but also switched up their arsenal? Like, one for me is, we talked about Kikuchi, but for me it's Framber Valdez. I mean, he was bad. He was bad in the first half. 11% strikeout minus walk rate. Again, that's below average. 14% is league average. And Framber Valdez was a pretty early pick. His pitch mix change was more changeups and more curveballs, and turned into an elite starting pitcher with a strikeout minus walk, and has that ground ball rate to back it up. So, I mean, if I'm looking at this, again, my general takeaway is I tend more to trust what I saw in the second half from the first half from these guys, because they changed things up. And so Framber Valdez, for me, I don't know what his early ADP is or whatever. I think he's an SP1.
I can tell you right now, and then we'll get to Eric here. Framber Valdez, ADP of like 64. Eric, in the back.
Yeah, also, the thing with new pitches is it's not always instantaneous, right?
Yeah.
Like, Framber had a curve, and it was easy. Yep.
Yep.
Continuous use of the curve and mixing into the curve, whatever it was for him that helped it click. I mean, then you see this huge spike in curveball effectiveness, and then once the curveball clicks, he starts going a bit more, and then you have that huge second half. So that's why you get these, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow.
That's right. Hey, we're trying to cue you up. We're trying to cue you up.
Stories of like, oh, he's throwing this more in the spring, and then you don't see it at all.
Yeah. Right.
I think Rodon Blanco was, like, I think he just lost, I mean, Nick would be able to speak to that better than I did, but I think he just, like, lost his changeup and then stopped throwing the changeup.
Yeah, I remember that very well, actually.
He wasn't as effective, and he just cut back on it.
Well, that's...
The Astros are one of those teams above this point that, like, will just read those signs and
well, it's like the old joke. A lot of us say we can look at the Savant page and like we can figure it out. Why aren't teams doing it? Because a lot of teams don't. We're like, what are we doing here, guys? Like these guys, this team can hit this pitch well. Why are we throwing it? And the other one is this guy's pitch isn't effective, but these three are. Like use these. The Astros pay attention to that in a big way. Like, just get rid of it. That's why this chart doesn't say it, but Kikuchi, I really would be interested in seeing what did he do, because there's a clear change that took place in Houston. And I'm curious on what the pitches are and whatnot, because that just goes to show you how smart that organization is, back to the initial point we kind of made. Yeah. All right. Anything else on this one before we go to the final bloom board? Anybody? Final bloom board.
Yeah, what is the final bloom board?
Our favorite one outside of Cato Walks.
One of our favorites.
We're talking hitters, so Nick's leaving.
Yeah, this is hitters. Sorry. So Pollock just walked out of the room. That's offensive. We're switching over to hitters. This is, for me, the ultimate result versus skill type of bloom board. You've got home runs, right, which is a result, a thing that happened, a ball was hit and cleared the fence. You have a barrel, and we'll go 10,000 foot view. A barrel is basically an extremely hard, you hit the hell out of the ball and you didn't hit it on the ground. It was a hard hit, line drive or fly ball. No matter what happened to that ball, you squared it up, it was a barrel. What I like to compare is home runs versus barrels over the course of a season. And so we have this, and Toby, who is in attendance at first pitch this year, which is awesome, caught up to him earlier today. He kind of, I don't know, trademarked this with you in the day.
He got me stuck on this one, like, big time. That sometimes I use it too often because I focus on it right away when he talks, certain hitters at least, when he talks about it.
Yeah, there's a kind of a rate you can make, a home run to barrel rate that you can roughly say, and the league average, we'll get to this in just a second.
It's usually 60-63% somewhere in there.
It's it was 56 last year.
Oh, even lower last year. God,
a little bit lower.
Manfred sucks.
What does that have to do with Manfred?
Because he probably changed the balls again or something. Like, thank you. See, I got more people. Get on board.
Just blame everything on Manfred.
He called the trophy Vlad's team just won and Miles' team just won. He calls a hunk of metal.
When I wake up tomorrow,
right?
My elbow hurts. Goddamn Manfred.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough. Orico on the seventh hole on Sunday. Manfred, just remember that.
So, a general rule of thumb with home runs and barrels is, you want roughly, so 56% is the average, roughly barrels divided by two is home runs. Maybe add a couple home runs. But what we're looking at here is the biggest fallers and risers in home run to barrel, the lowest and highest home run to barrel rate. So in the red, we'll throw this out to the crowd. These are the guys who honestly showed the most skill, and we'll get to park factors and whatnot in just a second, who hit the most barrels but only hit 16 and 21 home runs, respectively. Any guesses out there for most barrels, fewest
home
runs?
No, Chapman is not correct. O'Neill Cruz is correct. What other one?
O'Neill Cruz is one?
No Jackson Merrill. No Jackson Cheerio.
I'll give a hint.
He's a New York Met.
He's an old. Hey, that's too good.
No, it's not. Nope, see? Not starting one.
He's an
JD
old.
JD Martinez. He got it right there. He sucks.
So JD Martinez is number one on this
O'Neill
list.
Cruz.
44 barrels is 16 home runs for JD Martinez. O'Neill Cruz is number two. Let's go to the flip side. They had more home runs than they even hit barrels, which, again, is crazy because on average you should have twice as many barrels as home runs.
No, Arenado's correct.
Nolan Arenado is one.
Cedric Mullins is correct.
Chris
Wow.
Olsen. Well
Boom.
Done, man.
cheating, sort of. But yeah, Cedric was a big bummer, that's for sure. But introduce your park factors to this, and maybe we'll have a discussion here.
So, yeah, there's a lot of nuance to this. I think one of the biggest things is ballpark. And so what I've included on the bottom here is home run to barrel by park. So we know park factors are a big deal for hitters. If you play on Cincinnati.
Great American Small Park, baby.
70% chance a barrel is a home run in Cincinnati. However, if you play on Bubba's San Francisco Giants, you're kind of screwed.
Hit it and pray.
So I think park factor is, again, there's a lot of nuance to this, but I think park factor is probably the biggest one. If you are a hitter and you go to one of these green teams, you're in good shape. And then on the other hand, so like O'Neill Cruz, again, 21 home runs to 57 barrels. You might say, he hit the crap out of the ball at 57 barrels, only 21 homers. But he plays in Pittsburgh where half your games, you're at 46%. So there's other things. We have the dead pull hitter in the crowd. So, like, being able to pull a fly ball is a big deal. Cedric Mullins hit two-thirds of his home runs at home. That's a big deal.
That lefty porch, baby.
So again, there's nuance to this, but I think at the extremes, at the outliers, I think you can generally, and again, if we're kind of not, because it's always, for me, it's always like there's a give and take between like diving so deep into some of these stats and numbers and gaining maybe like 5%. If you can just look at home runs and barrels and get maybe 80, 90% of the way there, and it's simple, I think you can use something like this and say, hey, this guy has a lot of power, just has not been roared with it with the home runs.
Well, yeah, like we got the Yandy Diaz of the world. I think we'd all know that story by now. Like, the guy just can't elevate the baseball consistently. Ryan Mountcastle's a fun one because we know he gets Baltimore, whatever you get, Mount Baltimore, Lord Baltimore, whatever.
Baltimore.
I've heard multiple. Was it? That's right. He's a free agent this year.
We got a comp?
That's what I was going to say is he's a free agent coming up. That's why, and he was hurt a lot last year. So he's an interesting one. The ballpark's not great, but that stands out as interesting.
Apparently, I look like Ryan Mountcastle.
I don't see it. Austin Riley had that wrist injury forever, and then he had it going. I just picture Oscar the Grouch. But you just go down the list, like Vladito. Dude, it's a ton of balls in the ground, but hits the ball harder than most players in baseball. So
it's barrels don't account for.
I'm just saying, but he's always in the ball, so the line drives. That's why Yandy Diaz is that kind of guy. The one that stands out to me, and this is kind of, he's in the running for a potential mascot. He only plays one position, but we talk about him as Jesus Sanchez. The fact he continues to show up on boards, the profile is very intriguing. The overall playing time and consistency has not yet been there with Jesus Sanchez. He's always been more of a 15-team guy than a 12-team. He could be a 12-team stream potentially. But to see him show up on this board, there's a combination of Miami, potentially the ballpark, having an issue there with Jesus Sanchez. But he's also still young. So you're seeing him hit the ball hard in my mind. And it's like, okay, you're getting him free in drafts. So like, right now, Jesus Sanchez, he has, what's Chris Rett, your other boy. Jesus has an ADP of 280. Like we were talking about Nolan Jones earlier at 274. Jesus doesn't run like Nolan Jones. I think that's clear. But I would have Jesus Sanchez any more home runs than Nolan Jones. I'd be willing to take that bet right now. So I guess it kind of depends on how you want to pick your team. But that's where a board like this kind of stands out to being like, okay, he's young. The ballpark might not be the best thing for him, but he could also develop a bit. Hang out with Jake Berger some more. Doesn't hurt. You know, teach you how to elevate the ball. Because we talk about the ballpark, but remember we talked about a couple episodes ago. Brian De La Cruz was amazing in Miami, went to Pittsburgh, and completely forgot how to hit a baseball.
Died, yeah.
So as much as we want to make fun of Miami's ballpark for, like, being crippling to hitters, which it is, it's not, like, an ideal ballpark, might not be the worst thing in the world is what I'm trying to say. Like, there's room for possibilities. Maybe it's more he needs to be more of a pull hitter compared to, like, you know, hitting up the middle type guy. But there's angles to this. So that stood out to me on Jesus Sanchez.
Last couple names. I mean, there's no real need to keep inflating Bobby Witt. It's just wild that my guy has 77 barrels, which is the most on this list. Again, plays in Kansas City, which if we look at the ballpark, it's roughly on track with Kansas City, though he does only play half of his games there. Austin Riley is the other name on this left side. I think Austin Riley, like, there should be no discount on Austin Riley in 2025. I think he is the same guy that we've seen the last 2-3 years. And you're buying off a dip. I don't know what the drop in ADP is with Austin Riley, but I think
right now he's a third. It's like 32. It ain't a big drop.
Yeah. So disregard what I just said.
Well, no, he was early round two. Now he's early round three. So you're technically getting around, but I guarantee you, we see about a week of Grapefruit League baseball with Austin Riley, and
we're good.
Back to reality. Back to Vlad's point earlier. This is why some of us draft early. Type thing. Yeah. It might only be a round. It might be a second to third round pick, but still that adds up in the end type situations.
Yep.
All right, on the flip side of it real quick, Cedric Mullins had an amazing second half. We don't talk about that. Arenado's washed, as Ryan said earlier. Esau.
Don't quote me on that.
Esau can't hit in Chicago. We've established that. Yeah.
Esau isn't – so we, not to put you on the spot, Sarah, but Esau is an interesting case because he was on this list last season and – we had the Tampa, and I don't want to say short porch, but he pulled every single fly ball. Had the little cutout. Traded from Tampa over to Wrigley.
Which has the deep in the left field corner. And deeper. Yeah.
In. Yeah. That's what I thought when I. Yeah. So, like, I don't think Esau Paredes is really all that good. He hits a ton of pulled fly balls, but not that hard. I'm getting pushed back.
Hey, Bobby
this
D.
Is not good.
He was good in his ballpark. That ballpark kills him, just destroys him. If he could learn to hit a left center.
We have Luis Rengifo as a mascot. Honestly, yeah. Esau Paredes should be your pull hitting.
We have Luis Rengifo as a mascot. So
he is the pull hitter. Yeah. That's fair. We Sarah in the crowd has now turned very anti Cubs, which is on brand as a Cubs fan for her.
It's an interesting list, though. Sorry,
Reece. No, go ahead. No. Go.
Well, it's because like Dalton Varsho is a guy. He's got shoulder surgery. Was this a shoulder thing? You would think he'd be on the flip side if you want to blame the shoulder. That's the catch there. But like I'm not in love with Dalton Varsho, but I it's hard to give up on the skill set that is Dalton Varsho, if that makes any sense at all, because he's also going to be free. He's got a hit tool. It was always great when he could catch and play the outfield. Don't get that anymore. But you could draft him as a fifth outfielder now. That's the beauty of it. You're not drafting him high. I'll just hit it before someone else says it. Tyler Fitzgerald, be wary. Just going to throw it out there. I love the skill.
Whoa.
No, I love the skill set. I've preached about that left and right. Love the Tyler Fitzgerald skill set.
Oh.
But to see him on this board doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy, especially in a ball. We already mentioned how bad the ballpark is for pulled home runs.
Yeah.
And I watched, obviously, a lot of Giants games, and he hit – just top of my head, could be totally wrong – felt like a lot of home runs on the road, which would check the boxes here.
Yep.
But he's another guy, like, don't go in thinking he's going to be 30-30. I think he's more of a 20-20 guy. That's fine. Nolan Chenwal is the one that really surprises me to be on the list. Because you and I've kind of always been a Chenwal guy. You kind of, towards the end of Fab time, were like, okay, I could see the streaming access to it. I'm not going to say you bought in, but you could see the streaming side of it.
I spent too much time hanging around this guy. But, yeah, I started to buy in a little bit.
But to see, like, because the power increased so much this year. We talked about a guy that he had a great hit tool, great contact skills, great batting average asset, going to lead off, all these kind of smaller samples. To see him hit the power was kind of surprised. Then you see this, and it's like, maybe don't buy in so much type scenario. That's kind of a thing. Like, we saw this big hike, and I've always been one on the show. I know Ryan's kind of like this. I won't speak fully for him. We like to see it to believe it type stuff. Then, like, you saw it, but then you see this, and it's like, okay, maybe I want to see it twice before we believe it type thing. Anybody else stand up? Because Bregman's going to be on this board every year. He's in Houston. That's never going to change.
If he signs.
He's going back. He's going back to Houston. He's going back. Vlad. I think it's only for his coding, because we've had so many shows. I'll ask,
every,
like,
single
why
time
is
I say
player?
Josh Smith, yeah, and he's right here. I make the point to say
the
Josh H.
He does
Smith.
Make the point. I'm with. Let me check Fangraphs, because that's the most credible site, right? I've been told.
Oh, he did drop it.
Yeah, Fangraphs even dropped it. Fangraphs dropped it, so it is. It's official. I did not know that. I thought that was just a joke.
Maybe we should pick up our middle initials. Yeah.
Anything else you got on this one? Yeah. Any other questions?
Dude, yeah. Raffles.
That's 100%. And vice versa. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
Oh. No, that's a great point, because we'll look at some guys that aren't even on this list because maybe they didn't qualify for whatever he – well, look at, for instance – Cedric Mullins 106%. Like, these aren't even most things you look at, you think 100% is the max, and that goes to show you, like, some guys are getting more than your money's worth per se, yeah, on certain things. And I know we've said that on other, there's probably more on that didn't even make the list due to qualifications that are like, whoa, they really hit the luck box on, yeah, this one.
Right. Yeah, there's barrels can be line drives, it can be top. We've done research at Baseball HQ that hitters, and I don't think barrels, oh, I know barrels don't account for this, hitters can control their own spin and loft on the baseball, and certain hitters get more carry.
Hashtag they went to driveline.
Than others. But I just think if you're looking at this as like a casual fantasy player, casual baseball fan, I feel like this is a simple stat where you can kind of look at barrels as a measure of raw power and closely equate that to home runs. There's a ton of nuance to it. There's a ton of kind of things you can change with it. But
I think for us,
if you're looking for a stat, I think that looks at like raw power, barrels has been proven to kind of be the closest thing that we have.
Well, I think for like the layman, like the just let's have fun and we know just enough statistics, like me, caveman over here. You look at hard hit, you look at barrel, and you try to think, okay, this guy's got power. Like, guys, that's your easy avenue. And then obviously, like, you can dig in more stuff, I guess, helps kind of open your eyes to the situation of what's right and what's wrong, or what you think's right and what's wrong, I guess. And but it's a great starting point. The quality of contact metrics we mentioned a lot on the show. That's a big thing. You can kind of open up the box to kind of dig in on guys, and this is obviously one of them for sure.
Raffle time?
I'll do it when the show's over, just to make sure we don't get like a full uproar for the listening audience. Any questions before we wrap up? Anything in general?
Go life ahead. In general.
I got your text. I showed it to him. That's impressive.
So, the
text.
It's impressive.
Should I throw this up here? What do you know?
I don't know how to
text.
I can text
that.
It to you. It's too. It'll be too late by the time it gets to you. Yeah. Just let it go.
In what? Exit velocity.
Yeah, it's right here. It's right here.
It's not good. It's not good. It's really great. But honestly, the thing about him after watching him for so many years is he is out there looking for a mistake. He wants that pitch. He crowds the plate. He wants that pitch
It's all going that way. It's slow pitch softball. Let's put everybody here over. Yeah. Jason sent that mid-show, and I was just like, oh, that's brutal. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything? Otherwise, we'll wrap things up. Yeah, what do you got, Asher?
Battle Ridge Park, is there any split for handedness? I can imagine
100%. Yes. 100%, yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Like Baltimore, I think Baltimore off the top of my head would probably stand out in a big way, just top of my head.
Yankees lefties, Baltimore righties.
Ryan's working on a bloom board for that type of stuff, an updated one, right? No? See, yes? No.
I mean, yes. I mean, yeah. But, again, it always goes back to, and maybe I'm talking too much, but, like, it always goes back to you can always keep going and diving deeper.
Yeah.
Or you can get, like, 70, 80% of the way there with a number. It's your preference.
And then really pick the player to you want to go all in on type thing.
Yep. But, absolutely, lefty-righty split by ballpark. That's a really good point, Asher. Yep.
Anything else from the crowd? Love you, too. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up there then. I appreciate everybody for coming. As always, don't leave yet. We'll do the raffle after the show. But it's great to do this for our third year. We appreciate you guys. It's always a blast. It's our highlight of the year.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming out. But hope you guys listen outside of this. But thanks for coming. And this is Bubba in the Bloom, episode 183. Thanks, guys.